chapter, we saw four angels come out with the wrath of God in bowls. They were given vials out of the temple that had the wrath in the vials, and they poured them out. And when they poured them out, they poured them out upon the people. And so very ugly things happened to the people. The first one poured out his bowl, and there was these sores that developed all over people, and they oozed, and they smelled. They were really, really ugly and very painful. Now, as God began to bring these plagues, and we'll call them plagues, upon the earth, it wasn't that he brought one and then it stopped, and then he brought another one and it stopped. These began to accumulate. The first one was the sores. And to the sores, then he added to that, the next one was that the sea turned like blood. It didn't say it turned to blood, it said it turned like blood. And all the fish in the sea died, sort of like red tide, if you've ever seen that. The thing that's bad about the red tide, all the fish are dead, but the tide brings them up to shore, and they wash up onto the shore, and then you have all that dead fish on shore. And you know what a dead fish does when it lays there? It rots, and it smells. So you've got sores that are smelling. Now you've got dead fish everywhere smelling. And that was God's beginning to pour out his wrath. And then he had an angel pour out another bowl. And when that other angel poured out his bowl, all the rivers and fountains and springs and sources of fresh water were turned to blood, actual blood. Now, I don't know how God did that, but nothing's impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for God. And so if the people wanted something to drink, what they had to drink was blood. No water, blood. If they wanted to bathe those sores, they had to bathe them in blood. And can you imagine, you know, trying to wash a wound with blood? And so that was added to the first two plagues. And then the fourth angel poured out his vial, and the sun became hot to the point where it was burning all flesh. If you were out in the sun at all, you were burned. And there was no way to cool that. There was no water. If you tried to cool it, you had to cool it with blood. So that was pretty bad. And so those were the first four plagues, and they were upon the people. Now, these next three plagues, you remember God does things in sevens. Seven is the number of God. That seven is the number of perfection. And so tonight we're going to look at the last three angels pour out their vial and what happens here on the earth. So when the sun had scorched all the people's bodies and they had to cool themselves down with the blood, it brings us to verse 10 and 11 of chapter 16. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. All of a sudden, you had total darkness. You couldn't see anything. Total, absolute darkness. And it covered the entire world. All these people that had been, at least, you know if there's other people, misery loves company, and you want somebody with you when bad things are happening to you. You don't necessarily want them to happen to them, but sometimes you prefer they did happen to them, but anyway, suddenly the whole world is total darkness, no light at all. And at this point, you've got the pain from the sores, you've got the pain from the sun burning the flesh. And so the people were in pain, and instead of calling out and saying, "Oh God, help me," it tells us right here that they repented not of their evil deeds. They did not repent. They did not turn back to God from their pain and their sores. Everything was black, and they were in pain without hope to be able to deal with it. That was the first trial that indicated that things might not be going so well for them. Remember, there was a time when they had celebrated the two witnesses being killed, and the witnesses' bodies had laid in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, and it was like Christmas time. They were sending each other presents, and they were celebrating, and all of a sudden, the two bodies stood up. That should have given them an indication that things were not going to go real well for them, because that was just before this started. And then the two witnesses ascended to heaven. So the people by now are beginning to get an idea that they were maybe not in control. Maybe somebody else was in control. It looked like the dragon had been in control, and they had trusted him. They had worshiped him. The dragon, the devil. He came out of the bottomless pit. And so they were trusting the devil. They were following the devil. And suddenly, God made sure they couldn't follow anybody. He made it dark. It's sort of hard to follow people in the dark. You ever tried to follow somebody in the dark? Either you hang on or you listen for their voice just before you fall over. Yeah, you feel stuff. And I've done that. That's how I kicked the bed that night. I had the light on, and when I turned it off, I couldn't see. And so they thought they were following the dragon, but God made it possible for them not to follow him any longer. So the devil, and it also tells us here that the devil had given his throne to the first beast. Remember the beast that rose up out of the sea of humanity, the political beast, and the dragon gave his throne to that beast to sit upon to rule the earth, all of the people of the earth. In Revelation 13, I'm going to step back. In Revelation 13, verses 1 and 2, let me reread that because you may not, and I didn't really emphasize the fact that the devil had given his throne to the beast. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and the feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat," his throne. He was to rule the earth from that throne. And so God caused darkness to fall upon that throne so they couldn't see him, to follow him. Now, the pain must have been pretty intense. We're told that the people gnawed their tongues in pain. You know, it's not unusual for a person to see a person, if they're in pain, to bite their lip or bite their tongue just to offset the pain. And that's just a way that things occur. So even the beast was included in the pain. The dragon was suffering everything the people suffered. The beast that rose up out of the sea was suffering everything that the people had suffered. And the beast that rose up out of the earth was also suffering. They were not getting away Revelation 16, 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, there's two ways that we can look at this, and we'll look at it both ways. This verse is actually an important verse to the book of Revelation and to what we see taking place. We know that at some point, an army of 100 million men has to attack Jerusalem. They have to cross the Euphrates River to do that. Now, I only know of one country that could field an army of that size. Yep, China. But the Bible doesn't tell us, you know, whether it's China or not, but they could field an army. So that's why that could be one reason why the Euphrates River is dried up, so that they can cross to get to Jerusalem. But there is another army that people don't think about. And it's the army that's going to come in chapter 19. And that's us with our Lord. And we're also going to come from the east to Jerusalem. Jesus will be coming to destroy the Antichrist. And so we will have a way across the river. Now, Jesus could walk across it. We know that. But I don't know about us. So anyway, that's so in Revelation 1:4 through 6, it tells us this. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests. We might be those kings coming from the east. A lot of people don't think about that. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be kings and priests. I would imagine you ladies will be queens, but maybe you'll be kings. I don't know. But anyway, God is going to provide for that. You know, I don't know which event this verse is talking about. If it's talking about the 100 million coming against Jerusalem, or if it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't matter. The Euphrates is dried up so that the armies can get across it. Revelation 16:13. And I saw three spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, as I look at verse 13, I am reminded of the last two summers. These demons looked like frogs. We know that demons can possess animals. And when we think about this, they're looking like frogs. For the last two summers, as I would come into church through that back door, there would be a toad sitting there. And every morning that I came in, he would sit there, and he'd let me walk right past him, and then he'd hop off to the side. And being the way I am about animals, I'd say, "Good morning, toad." And I don't know if I was talking to a demon or not. I sort of hate to think that. He was a nice toad. But these three demons that look like frogs come out of the mouths of the beast, out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, when it talks about these three, I want to make sure that you understand who these three are. The dragon is the devil. The beast is the Antichrist. That's the one that came up out of the sea of humanity. That's the political. That's the beast. That's the Antichrist. And then the mouth of the false prophet. There is another beast that rises up that causes people to worship the first beast. And so that makes him a prophet, because we're talking then about religion and about prophecy. Revelation 14, 16. For they are spirits, for they are spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. I remember the Euphrates was dried up. Behold, I come as a thief, that's Jesus. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together to a place called in the Hebrew Armageddon. So we know that the river is dried up at least for that battle and for that event. And I don't think that the toad that I said good morning to every morning ever worked any miracles. So I guess I'm good there. He must have just been a toad, but I did have a purpose in telling you about that toad. And I hope you understand that demons can occupy animals. That's very important for us to know that. There are people who have pets that are demonic. And they don't realize it, they won't admit it. They don't realize it. You say, well, Brother Ken, I don't know where the Bible says that demons inhabit animals. Remember when Jesus cast out the demons out of the Gadarene demoniac? Where did they want to go? They wanted to go to that herd of swine. And they did. And then Jesus caused that herd of swine to run down the hill into the lake and drowned. So we need to be careful. We have demons around us. People are demonic. Some animals are demonic. So we need to be very careful. The devil will use any way he can to get close to us. And we need to be aware of that fact. Remember, you know, all those pigs were inhabited by devils. Over 1,000. Let's read about that one. Turn to Mark chapter 5. We need to really understand how important it is that we are aware of the truth of God's word. Mark 5, I'm going to read the first 13 verses. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now this sounds like one demon. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. It was about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So animals can be demon-possessed. And we need to be aware of that. We need to watch for it. One quick observation. The two beasts were under the influence of demons. The one that rose up from the sea, for the demon finally came out of his mouth in the form of a frog. The devil himself was being influenced by a demon. And then the prophet, the religious beast, had a demon in him. So then, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. Now remember, Jesus said something like that. This came from the throne of God. It is done. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. Very similar. Because very similar situations. So a voice from the throne of God pronounces this is done. In John 19, 28 through 30, it said, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. To the Romans and Jews, that seemed like the end. But it really was only the beginning. I'm so glad. It was really only the beginning. Back to chapter 16. Revelation 16, 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city, talking about Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and Babylon and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. A little history, world history, creation history. God created the earth. He tells us in Genesis he created it, and he looked and he saw and it was good. There were not continents at that time. There was just one continent. One large landmass. During the flood, that landmass broke up. And any of you who have driven through the mountains, you can look on the mountains and you can see the various layers of earth and colored rock and things in those mountains because they have been tilted up. That's how they got to be a mountain. You see, there were no mountains before the flood. And so during the flood is when the continents broke up and the mountains were created. Now, islands were created too, because an island is simply a mountain underwater and you're looking at the top of the mountain. So this earthquake that is talked about here is so great that all the mountains fold back down where they came from. The continents don't all come back together, but all the mountains, all the islands, they flee away, and that's how that can happen. Such a great earthquake as they had here. It seems that when God makes a pronouncement, it can become pretty drastic. And I believe during that earthquake that the whole of creation shuddered. It's been waiting for redemption. And it shuddered while waiting. And that was this earthquake that took place. It won't be just a local earthquake. It would be a worldwide earthquake to destroy the cities of the nations. And all of the history, all of the story that we have in the Bible of mankind and God's relation to mankind, all revolves around Jerusalem. That is the center of God's world. Sometimes we think we're the center of the world, but we're not. Jerusalem is the center of God's world. And one day, I don't know why people want to take a trip to Jerusalem and walk where supposedly where Jesus walked. Jesus walked there 2,000 years ago, and those paths and those trails are long gone. And no matter what the guide tells you, you know, this is not the tree that Jesus was crucified on or that they made the crown of thorns from. Those things are gone. But one day, you and I are going to meet the Lord in Jerusalem. And what a day that's going to be. We're going to be part of his army. We're going to be there to help defeat, well, at least watch him defeat the Antichrist. And we'll see that when we get to the end of this book. So, I believe the universe sort of shuddered. The whole universe shuddered when this event took place. And so the islands flee away, the mountains go back to where they were, flat again. And you would think at that point that man would see God and who he was and that they would respond by repenting, by calling out to him. But man's response was not repentance, but a continued rebellion. Those who are not killed by the... Oh, yeah, yeah. Then the last event that occurs, a little bit of hail. I don't know how many of you... We've all probably at one time or another been in a hailstorm. Connie and I were in a hailstorm up in northern Alberta, Canada, that made our car, the top roof of our car look a little bit like a golf ball. But we were also not too far from Hibbing, Minnesota, when they had hail, and the hail was about that big around. And there was not a windshield or a car window or a store window left in the town. That was nothing. That was nothing. It tells us that we're going to have a hailstone storm, and the hail is going to be one talent. That is a block of ice, 100 pounds. You know, well, you're going to be a goner. You're going to be a spot on the pavement someplace. And that's what God is going to do to this earth as part of his wrath. He's going to pour this out. And so they were, if they were not killed by the 100-pound blocks of ice falling out of the sky, they did not, they blasphemed God. They blamed him for it. You know, it's easy for us, for you and I. It's always great if there's somebody else to blame for our mistake, for our error. Oh, my wife made me do it, no. Or, you know, he made me do that. If you hadn't said something to me, I wouldn't have messed this thing up. And ever say something like that, you know? Don't talk to me when I'm working. But men are not happy with God. And we need to be witnessing. We need to be telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've got to understand not all of them are going to respond appropriately. Not all of them are going to want to receive Christ, because man is in full rebellion today against God. Our government is in rebellion against God, a large portion of it. And we just have to, prayerfully keep ourselves in the will of God, not blaspheme him. And these people were so unhappy. They had a hatred towards God, and there was nothing they could do about it. They couldn't reach out at him. They couldn't lash out at him. And they couldn't do anything about their hatred for God. So that's the mood that they were in when these things happened. Now, I need to remind you again that these things were not all taking place at the same time. They were not all taking place consecutively, but these things are going to happen upon the earth. There's more to come. It's not done yet, as God pours out his wrath and takes revenge upon the earth. But I'm not going to go into chapter 17 tonight. I'm going to stop right here. Ask you, are there any questions or any comments? And I'll tell you, there's only one donut in the kitchen. Whoever's the fastest can get it, or you can cut it up into 20 pieces. Okay. Yes. Yes. That will probably take place. It's a good question, Faye. That will probably take place when the millennium starts, because everybody will be on the same page. Everybody will be serving God and loving him. Now, during that millennium, there will be children born. There'll be multiple children born. And that's 1,000 years. Now, I'm having trouble making it to 80. I don't know what it's going to be like trying to make it to 1,000. But I'm going to have a different body anyway, so it'll be a perfect body. But there will be children born during that time also. And those children will get through the millennium without ever being tempted. They will never be tempted to sin. And so at the end of the millennium, while the millennium takes place, the devil's going to be in chains in hell. At the end of that time, he is going to be turned loose to tempt those who have never been tempted. And some of them are going to follow him. And they are going to stand the judgment. They are going to be condemned to hell. Only that hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. We'll see that in chapter 20, okay? That's where you will see that, Faye. All right. Any other questions? Yes, Becky. The devil right now is walking about. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is walking about the earth right now, right this minute. He is here on the earth. He's not in the center of the earth. He will be driven there by Jesus Christ. But right now, he is the prince of the power of the air. Until Jesus comes back, the devil will be here on earth. Christ is coming to destroy the Antichrist in all sin, all wickedness. The devil's going to flee from that. Good question. Anything else? Now's your chance.
I've got a question.
Yes.
You said about all the realms be going on, but see, Hawaii is
Not all of Hawaii is formed from volcanic ash. What does a volcano look like? Okay, it's like it is a mountain, but it has a flue up through the middle of it that permits the magmas, which is in the center of the earth and further down, to come up through that funnel, and then it pours out and runs over. But the mountain is already there. Yes, Chuck.
Good example, Mount St. Helens.
Yes, Mount St. Helens would be a good example. There was a mountain there, and then the top blew off. And it created new lakes, killed trees for hundreds of miles. It was really quite an event. Other questions? These are all good questions. They're legitimate questions. Okay, you get to go home early tonight.